Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
All right, here is an interesting idea for you. Do nothing. It could just change your life. That's the message according to the Bishop of Reading in the United Kingdom, who's written a book based on that very notion. So committed is he to the benefits of doing nothing that he recently spent his morning handing out egg timers to early morning commuters at his local train station, offering them, I quote, the gift of time. And he's kindly spared some time to join us now. Bishop Stephen Cottrell, welcome to Open House.
Hello, nice to be with you.
Handing out egg timers at a train station, did people get it?
Well, yes, they did, actually. I mean, it was done, I'm sure it was done in a good-humoured way. There was lots of laughter and smiles on that morning as I was there. And, of course, some people rushed by. You know, they were too busy, and I can understand that. They had a train to catch. But quite a number of people stopped, and we had some really nice conversations, and they happily received the gift.
Fascinating. Your book is called Do Nothing to Change Your Life, which I love the double meaning of that. Can a person's life really be changed by doing nothing, though?
Well, I think what the book is really trying to say is two things. One, I mean, it's so obvious, isn't it? We live in a frantic, crazy, driven, ever more pressured society. And you know, most of us find ourselves having conversations with friends and family in which we're all saying, I wish I had more time. Mm. Well, of course, we don't have more time. We've all got the same finite amount of time available. The question, therefore, is what do we do with it? What is our attitude to it? And then I think what the book is saying is one of the ways that actually we are able to shape our attitude to it in a different way is to reclaim and reconnect with the value of some moment, some time of reflection and stillness in the day. You know, it was put to me by someone, which I thought was great, is that many of us spend our lives climbing up the ladder only to discover that it's leaning against the wrong wall.
Mm.
And so it's kind of saying, you know, what do you really want in life? What are your real priorities? What do you really want to do with your time? You know, it doesn't say on anybody's gravestone, I wish I spent more time at the office.
Mm-hmm.
To find some stillness and silence in the day, which may be within the routines and rhythms of our busy, you know, I have a busy life. I've got three kids. I've got a job with big responsibilities. So I hope I'm not fantasizing about, you know, finding this kind of holy time that may not be possible for many people. Perhaps it will be on the train, or perhaps it will be when you're stuck at those traffic lights in that traffic jam. Perhaps it will be when you're in the shower. But actually to say, can I each day, if possible, find some space in which I start reflecting, where is my life going? What do I really want? What are my true priorities?
Mm. Was there a catalyst for the book for you? I mean, you'd be thinking...
Yeah, I think my own frantic life. You know, I have a bit of a problem here now. I mean, my eldest son's 17, and he's actually read some of the book and now quotes it back at me as it's kind of proof positive, Dad, that you are a total hypocrite. But you know, if I don't know how easy it is to get the book in Australia. I mean, I think certainly if you go on Amazon or websites, you can get it. You'll find that I readily admit that I'm a real learner in this. But I recognise. I mean, obviously, I write this as a Christian as well. You know, from a spiritual point of view, it's deeply embedded in the Christian tradition, indeed, in all the great faith traditions of the world. The value of stillness, the value of silence. Recognizing that maybe you're not the center of the universe, and all that I think is really good for us.
Well, of course, the Christian notion of Sabbath has to be at the center of one of the things you're talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in many ways, the whole book can be understood, not in the literal sense of reclaiming Sabbath as a day, you know, though I think that would be a pretty good thing for our society, but really the Sabbath principle, you know, that Sabbath for Christians is not, I mean, it's a commandment, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. But I think I'm interested in it as the gift that on the seventh day, you know, it wasn't the seventh day God was so exhausted he needed a rest. The seventh day is the day of joy, the day in which God delights in what he has made. And I think that's kind of hot-wired into the DNA of the whole creation, that sense of balance.
Yes.
And yet we look around at the way we live our lives and we're losing it. Every day is the same. You know, the distinctions between night and day start disappearing. The distinctions between work and leisure disappear. So this is a way of saying, if you lose this, you lose something vital about what it is to be human, and a lot of your other things, the things that really matter in your life, your relationships with your family, you know, the things that really make you who you are, they all start getting lost.
Mm. What are some of the practical things we can do during nothingness time, whether it's a whole day or whether it's
one of the things I think people don't do this is actually they're quite frightened of it, that actually stopping and doing nothing, even for a few minutes, is quite frightening, because often the first thing that happens is a lot of things that maybe you've, if not suppressed, certainly put on the back burner, suddenly start emerging. And so that can be a bit scary. And that's why I would suggest that, you know, if people are really busy and if this in any way connects with them, I would say look at the rhythms of your daily life, first of all. Look at what you're already doing and say, are there some natural opportunities for me to build some downtime, you know, where maybe I take the earphones out, I switch the iPod off, I switch the computer off, I switch the phone off, and I just try to center myself. And I think the first thing to do is perhaps be thankful, you know, a spirit of thankfulness about, you know, the great things that we do receive. And then perhaps just to ask that really difficult question, okay, this is the time I've got. How do I use it? What do I really want? What are my true priorities? And then allow myself to be led by them.
We are talking to Stephen Cottrell. He's the Bishop of Reading in the United Kingdom, and he's the author of this book, Do Nothing to Change Your Life. You also say in the book that we could even enjoy the processes of life. For example, I believe you advocate getting rid of instant tea and coffee in favour of actually making it the long way.
This is another little way of, I suppose I do mean it seriously, but my tongue's a bit in my cheek in that bit of the book, because it's a way of actually, it's part of that looking at what you already do. And I think so many of the things in life which we were told were going to save us time, what they've actually done is put more pressure on the time that we have. I mean, I think email is probably the classic example of this. You know, we all kind of cry out in horror when we get to work, particularly on a Monday morning, and, you know, hundreds of emails waiting for us. Mm. Well, we were told email saved us time. I don't think any of us experience it much like that. And so I kind of say, you know, make tea the old-fashioned way. Don't dunk a tea bag very quickly in a mug. You know, it's a very English thing, this. You'll have to forgive me in Australia. You know, warm the pot. Use leaf tea. Wait for the pot to rest. And suddenly what you've been given back is a minute to ponder, a minute to dream, and you still get your cup of tea at the end of it.
Mm. I have a former colleague who, at one stage, a couple of years ago, just started to set aside a few moments in the afternoon to set up a little tea tray. He had a tray, he boiled the water, did the whole thing, did it with the tea leaves. That was just his little moment of specialness in the afternoon, and it helped him to just wind
down.
Yeah,
like a man after my own heart. And yeah. I suppose I am seriously saying some of those little rituals, some of those little things that we used to do, they give us something in our lives that's so often lost when you're just charging from one thing to the next. Now, I think we need to be realistic. That's part of our culture, and it is very hard to step out of it. But I believe it's worth the effort. I believe it's worth the effort because, and I suppose in the end this is the main point of the book, it does change your attitude to time, that rather than seeing time as this thing which is rushing away from us. You know, so many of us spend our lives either raking over the past or anxiously fretting about what's going to happen next, worrying about the future. But actually, paradoxically, when it comes to the present moment, we're not present. We're not engaged with what's right in front of us. We're living backwards or forwards. And for me, therefore, to build some stillness and centering into your life, you know, what Christians call prayer and contemplation, to build that in, suddenly now you're more alive and more engaged in each moment. And I believe that's the great fruits, is that actually you start seeing God and delighting in everything that life puts before you. You know, both the really hard and difficult things, but also starting to see the joys a bit more.
Yes. I personally resonate with so much of what you're saying, Stephen, because I tend to be somebody who's got way too many things in the diary every single day. There are other people, maybe the more phlegmatic personalities, for whom that's not so much of an issue. Where's the line between doing nothing for a good purpose and actually laziness?
Well, Well, of course there is, and obviously I'm not talking about laziness, though I don't want to get too bumptious about this. A little bit of laziness might just actually be a good thing sometimes. just that whole day slobbing around, doing nothing and for no purpose. I mean, that isn't a bad thing. But clearly, no, this isn't about laziness. It is about balance. It is about stillness. It is about attentiveness to the present moment. And I think these are things our culture has taken away from us, and I believe a little bit of discipline is required to restore them. But first of all, of course, you need the desire. Now, what's been interesting for me is that actually, you know, the huge interest the book has had over here and around the world shows that actually there's a huge desire, that our life is becoming ever more pressured, ever more frantic, and a lot of other things, the things that really matter to us, are being, well, sometimes destroyed by that.
Mm. Stephen, thanks for joining us on Open House tonight, and go and take a break.
Thank you, I will.
You've worked for it, good on you. That's the Bishop of Reading, Stephen Cottrell. He's the author of this book, Do Nothing to Change Your Life.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.